Our scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. With a sermon entitled, "It Is Not Over." And yes, one of the things I'm starting to drive my family a little crazy with while you're looking up that scripture, and now that's cute. The little Christmas ball there at the bottom of the screen. Greg, did you do that? Did you put that Christmas ball there at the bottom of the screen? You're such a funny guy. Watch what happens next. And I want to echo what Linda said. I have been telling my family lately, look what time it is. It's not dark yet. The days are starting to lengthen up a little bit. And my family is like, oh my golly. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time came of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him in prayer. Father, let us be drawn together. Let us set aside our thoughts, our worries, and concentrate fully on the words that you have given for us to hear. Never mine. Never to be mine. Yet, Father, be within us. Strengthen us. Guide us. Use these words. Use these thoughts. Use this lesson today, that we may go from here ready, willing, able to serve, love, and speak of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the salvation, and love eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. So, let me tell you a little something. This is the time of year I like the least. I do not like this time of year. I don't like it. I guess I can't go so far as to say I hate it, but I do teeter on the verge of hating this time of year. I don't like it. You know, I love December and how it ramps up. And in a few weeks, I'll start to fall in love with the season again because I know what's going on. But this is that stretch of time. I just don't like it. I get all frustrated with it. Wendy the other day made a comment, a statement that struck fear into my heart, caused panic, made me crestfallen. I almost started to cry when she walked into our living room and uttered those words. "Well, I guess it's soon time to take the tree down." didn't want to take it down. And I looked at her and she said, you know, this ain't Las Vegas. Now, lights are going out everywhere. You know, right before Christmas, right up to Christmas, everywhere you look, lights, beauty, people decorating this, people decorating that. I saw down near Baltimore, somebody had a full-blown winter wonderland of those blue and injection molded plastic Santa Clauses and Bible and candles and all this stuff in their yard. And I thought, that was amazing. There must have been 200 pieces in that yard. And I saw it and I marveled at it. And then I looked at their next door neighbor and they had a toilet in the front yard and decorated it. Christmas spirit. I guess they're just trying to be funny. I don't know. But lights went out everywhere. Except at my house, the lights are still on. As a matter of fact, they may not go out because I have a plan. I bought these icicle lights and I strung them across the eaves of the house. And they glow and they twinkle and I can operate them from my smartphone. If I get bored too, man, I click that thing on and I sit there and look out the window and I'll change the colors and I can change the patterns of them. And they have built-in colors. They have colors for Valentine's Day. Colors for St. Patrick's Day and 4th of July and any other holiday. And that they're not coming down. But it frustrates me because we do all of this stuff and we get ready. And then suddenly everybody just stops. I don't like this time of year. Eugene O'Neill wrote a poem that says, "Blow, blow, thou winter wind, away from here, and I shall greet thy passing breath without a tear. I do not love thy snow and sleet or icy flows when I must jump or stamp to warm my freezing toes. For why should I be happy or Aaron be merry in weather only fitted for Cook or Perry?" Those were explorers in the Antarctic, in case you hadn't. "My eyes are red, my lips are blue, my ears are frostbitten. Thy numbing kiss doth extend through my mittens. I am cold no matter how I warm or clothe me. O winter, greater bards have sung of you, but I loathe thee." It's dark. And everyone has forgotten already. And just moved on. That's why I was stunned to see that. It's not over. It is not, capital letters, over. Everybody thinks that life has just moved on. And when we read this starting out, one of the greatest events, I'm sorry, next to that moment that's coming up, the greatest event in human history, the birth of Jesus Christ, and the Bible records it as moving on. Verse 21, "And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him." The Bible records it. Okay, the baby's born. You know, when my children were born, we spent 4 days in the hospital because we had twins and one of them wasn't ready to be done cooking yet, so they had to put him under the light, you know. And we didn't. When we came home, you know, all this big event, all my family's like, "Oh, look at the babies." You know, they still make fun of me to this day for the ketchup and mustard hats that I gave them. You've heard that story when the lady said, "Put on the hats." I looked in the box of the little knit caps, and they were all these little flu things with bears and bunnies and birds and blech. And I dug all the way down, one red one, one yellow one. Ah! Flunk, flunk, I put them on. When Wendy saw that, she was like, "Oh, golly, I married this guy." And we got home, everybody, the Bible records it. And on the eighth day, he just went on to the temple. Okay, the baby's born, 8 days, the law says, got to go in, got to get him circumcised, got to get him consecrated, got to do what the law says, got to take in a pair of pigeons, pair of doves, got to submit them in so that they can be part of a sacrifice. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's go get that done. Yeah. You get your babies home after they're born. Within a couple weeks, it's the wellness check. And pretty soon, life goes on. And yet it is not over. When the time of the purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In the Bible, we read this and we know, oh yeah, he took him to the temple. But we don't read what happened right there. Presented Jesus to his Father. That's how you got to think of that verse. Not just to the Lord. They took his Son to him. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice. Then we read about this man in Jerusalem, Simeon. He was righteous and devout. I looked it up. According to a tradition in the Eastern Orthodox Church, Simeon has been one of the 72 translators of the Septuagint. Now, see, he hesitated over the translation of Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and was going to correct it to Yerve, a woman. An angel appeared to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen the Christ born of a virgin. In other words, leave it alone. By their calculations, by calculations of biblical scholars for hundreds and hundreds of years, Simeon, at this moment, when Jesus comes into the temple, baby Jesus, Simeon is over 200 years old. 200 years old. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Another key element of that scripture that gets missed in that moment is the word of the Holy Spirit. We as Protestants, we as Christians, sometimes talk of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's even a song, right? Somewhere, I think there's a song about it. I'm not going to sing it today because I don't know what it is. But we think of it this way. We get trapped into this. And so I want you to stop for a moment and consider the scripture. We get trapped into thinking, first, there was God. God, 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 God. Then came Jesus. And when he passed, we were given the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But let's make sure we understand the truth as we read these scriptures. God has always been there, and Jesus was there in the beginning. And the Holy Spirit has moved constantly throughout the entire history of mankind. And the Bible calls it out that the Holy Spirit moved upon this righteous and devout man, Simeon, who knew it is not over. And he's waiting. And he's holding on to everything. And he's holding on to hope. And that's what I do. That's why I get crazy when she starts. You know when they take down the tree in my house? When I ain't there to see it. Because as fast as she'll put one off, I'll pick it up and hang it back on the tree. And that happened a couple years ago. And now I'll come home and there'll just be this hole in my heart where a tree had been. It is not over. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon, over 200 years old, knew it, saw it, felt it, took the baby from them, and began to praise him. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. There is so much meat in this scripture that we don't take fully into understanding. We know the story. Everybody knows all the stories in the Bible. Well, most of them. But when you stop and read the scripture and consider what's being told you, there's so much more to it. As you have promised, what is the one thing that we live as Christians in? What's that one word? It's four letters, starts with an H, ends with an E, has two letters in the middle, O and P. The word is what? Hope. And what is the sum total? What comes from hope? What is the answer? It is the word as you promised. Promised. We live standing on the promises, cannot fall. Trusting in my Savior is my all and all. Listening every moment for the Savior's call. Standing on the promises of God. Right? That's what we live on. And that's what hope generates. And he sees the promise because he knows it is not over. Now, what had me griping? See, you need to understand why I was griping and whining and carrying on this week. Because my wife had a migraine on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, it was so cold and it had snowed and thawed off a little bit and got cold again. And I said, we're not going to have Bible study or a prayer meeting because I didn't want anybody to come out and slip or hurt themselves. But the boys still had karate that night. And so she was not feeling well. She had a migraine. And I took the boys to karate. And I decided to myself, when I drop them off for karate, because if I sit in there for too long, I'm afraid that they're going to start using me as a test dummy. Come over here, Paul, and Stan. We're going to do some hi-ya karate chops around you and see how close we can get to you without hitting you. No, you're not. So I decided I'm going to drive over to church, spend some time in my office, do some catch-up. If you've ever looked at my desk is a tornado of destruction. And as I drove over here, it was dark and gloomy and cold and dark and gloomy and cold. And I got here to the church parking lot, and there was ice patches, and the back was all icy. And I came in, and I was in a bad mood. I don't like this time of year, because it's like, okay, Christmas is over, that's it. Let's get on with it. New Year's is done, woohoo! And I worked for a while, and I decided, okay, take that time, let me go pick the boys up. And I walked out the back door, and I almost slipped on the ice and busted my rear end. And I jumped in the truck, and the wind was cold, and I was not in the best of moods. And I started the truck up, and I turned the lights on, and one of the headlights was out. Again! Because it's got a shorten wire. And I get out, and I try to open the hood, and the hood has frozen a little bit. And I'm beating on the hood, and I'm back. If anybody would have come back around the backside, they would have took me away somewhere. And I finally got the hood open and got the light to working, and everything was good. And I slip around, and I get, and I am just in a mood. I love seeing the lights and the beauty and the joy and the festivities. And I'm driving along thinking, does anybody, it's like, you've forgotten, it's not, it just. And then I saw a star. A star glowing in the night. The clouds had parted. I am not kidding you. This is the truest of true stories. I wouldn't lie to you in church. Back there, I might tell you, Phil, but not in this building. I'm playing, Paul. Got to have that understanding. I saw a star. The clouds parted and the sky started to clear off a little bit. And this big, beautiful star, it got to me, man. It settled me down and it reminded me, it is not over. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, you saw a star, Paul. Okay, whatever. I saw the big glowing star at the top of the cement plant down there. They still had it lit. All these days later. And it was gorgeous. And I got overcome. And I started singing Christmas carols as I drove to pick up the boy away in a manger. And I was singing Silent Night. And it was all over again. And then I realized, brothers and sisters, it is not over. Christmas is not over. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child, Jesus. Simeon took him in his arms and praised him. Praise God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Verse 32, this is our verse, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Say, we are.
We are.
Old Gentile win. We are. Jesus Christ was not born for the consolation of Israel alone. Jesus Christ was born to save everyone, including the Jews. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Oh my golly, it is not over. And for me to turn, and I didn't see that till a couple minutes ago, Greg even believes it is not over. A single little Christmas ornament. Got the poinsettia up here. Merry Christmas. Really? That's how you guys are going to look at me when I say Merry Christmas to you? I am ashamed for you all. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
It'll never stop working. On a plaque marking Abraham Lincoln's birthplace near Hodgensville, Kentucky, is recorded this scrap of conversation. Any news from down the village area, Ezra? Well, Squire McLean's done gone up to Washington to see old Madison be swore in. Old Spellman tells me that Bonaparte feller has done captured most of Spain. What's out here, neighbor? Oh, nothing at all. Except for a baby born over there at old Tom Lincoln. Nothing ever happens out here. Some events, whether birthdays in Hodgensville or in Bethlehem, or a spiritual rebirth in a person's life, may not create much earthly splash. But those of lasting importance will eventually get the notice they deserve. Brothers and sisters, we can't let go of Christmas just like that. It is not over. I was filled again. And the thoughts came rushing back, and it reminded me that the birth of Jesus heralds our salvation. How wonderful it is to hold on to it. And it's not over. Just because the decorations are being torn down. I see everybody. I've talked to everybody this week. Oh, we spent all weekend, this past weekend, taking down all our Christmas decorations. We have a friend, and I don't know if she still does it, but my wife has a very good best friend. Her name is Carla, and Carla's mother is very silly. I love Carla's mother, Miss Carolyn, to death, because Miss Carolyn puts up this elaborate white artificial Christmas tree. I mean, that thing is just beautiful. And I think it's absolutely amazing. And she puts it in the front window, and their house sets on a body of water. I guess it's the Chester River down there. And down in the southern part, down in Eastern Shore. And they've got this beautiful view. And she puts this thing up, and it lights. And you can see it from out on the water. And she finally gets around to thinking about taking it down in April. And I was there one time in July, and the tree was still up. And she said, I just can't take it down. Well, I'm like her. Why take it down? We'll just leave it up till next year and just keep putting ornaments on it. Of course, my tree is real, so it would die, and that would create a whole nother excitement around the house. But it don't matter that the lights are off. It don't matter that they're down. It don't matter that Walmart is now selling Easter candy. What matters is that we live like Simeon. There are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday said this in his sermon, wonderful. I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any name could express. Infinitely beyond. It is not over. The child's father and mother, verse 33, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. Now listen carefully. This is the part of the story we don't pay attention to enough. This child is destined to cause the rising, to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. In his last moments, he puts it out there. He tells her it is not over. Quite frankly, it will never be over until that trumpet sounds and we're taken away. And then guess what? I got some news for you. You ready? It still will not be over. Because we will sing and rejoice and praise and live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's what we need to hold on to as we come out of the Christmas season. Here in the bleak midwinter. Praise God for Christmas. Joseph Farley wrote this poem. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son as He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him in the stable. Praise Him in my heart. It is not over. As long as we hold on to it, as Simeon did, as long as we are destined to look toward that star, as long as we are destined to keep our hearts, our eyes, our minds, our ears open to what God is showing us, it is not over. And it will never be over. And that's the glory that we hold coming out of this. Yes, we know what's coming next. We know what our next big celebration is. But for right now, brothers and sisters, right now in this Christmas still season, I invite you to take a drive one night here before they turn it off. Hopefully they don't do it this weekend. And go look at the star up on the cement plant, providing hope for the promise that we stand on, reminding us it is not over. May God bless each and every one of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Father, I ask that You would just heal our hearts. Give us the strength. Heal our physical bodies as well. We've prayed for that already. But Father, I ask in this season for a great healing and a great removal of all of that which ails us, Father. And I ask that You would remind us it is not over. Not now, not nor will it ever be over for as long as we hold Jesus in our hearts. We thank You for the birth of Your Son, and we thank You for the lesson taught to us by Simeon, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Your people Israel, Father. It is not over. May Jesus bless us in this. In His name we give thanks.